Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome into the 11 o'clock hour of the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 Biggie Bag. Chad Withrow, Paul Kaharski with you in studio. Jonathan Hutton on his way out, headed down south to Jacksonville. A place I would refer to as a hellhole, to be quite honest with you, in terms of NFL destinations. Probably the worst spot in the NFL. I have no love for the city of Jacksonville.
I do like night games there, because the press box during the day, it's like you're an ant under a magnifying glass in the sun.
If you gave me a list of NFL cities to get drafted to if I were a player to coach in, Jacksonville would be close to the bottom for sure. We go on the road, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Remember, booze it and lose it. Lose your license, your freedom, your life. Sponsored by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive. Coach Doug Matthews in studio with us. Coach, you've made some trips down to Florida in your time as a coach and as a fan.
I actually recruited Jacksonville for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, as you all know, it's a lot of water down there. You got a lot of bridges you got to get across and around. But, boy, there's a lot of good talent there.
No doubt about it.
Georgia and Florida in particular made a living. That, I guess that's probably why they play the their game there every year. But a lot of good players in that area.
Let's start by reviewing what happened against Chattanooga. We won't spend a ton of time on it, but had a chance to listen to Big Orange Sunday with your big takeaways from the game. One thing that just jumped out to me, and I know Dave Ubben for The Athletic wrote a big piece on where he was embedded with the Chattanooga coaches, and he got the full week plan from them and then got the Monday response. And they said it after the game, but Tennessee was ready to rock and roll in that game, and they basically had no shot from the opening kickoff with that big return from Ty Chandler. And that's, you know, you wanted to see that against Georgia State, obviously, but that's absolutely what you want to see against an opponent like that. And I thought Tennessee did very well coming out of the gates.
Yeah, a lot of motivation going into that game because of the 0-2 start. You had a pretty good idea it was going to work out something like that, because Chattanooga, this is not a very good Chattanooga team. And Chattanooga, when they're really good, of course, is not going to be able to compete with Tennessee at most years. But, you know, a lot of positives come out of the game. You always try to look for the positives. There weren't a whole lot of negatives that probably could come out of that game. But I thought in a lot of the areas I talked about Sunday, you know, what you look for is improvement. And I think Tennessee did that. They clearly have identified who their playing rotations are at each position now. Maybe backup quarterback's not set, but you kind of look at who they played in the offense, defensive line, defensive backfield, running back's pretty much set now. So they know what they have to work with. That's what you hoped to get going into Florida and the SEC schedule. Obviously, you wanted to go in there with 3 wins, but at least they have that identified now. And that's who they'll be working with and who they'll be building around, that group of players. You know, 38, 40 of them that are really going to be playing any meaningful scrimmage snaps.
Obviously upset with the way Tennessee lost to BYU and give up a game they had control. But does the outlook of that game change a little bit, the fact that BYU is able to beat a top 25 team in USC the very next week?
Well, not really. I mean, it does to fans maybe a little bit. But regardless of who you're playing, there was absolutely no reason to lose that game when you have a team actually backed up to the 8-yard line, no timeouts left, freshman quarterback, and under 1 minute to play. You got to win those ball games. And obviously Tennessee wasn't able to do that. So, but hopefully a learning experience there.
Going into this game, Jarrett Garantano needed some confidence. There's no doubt about it. It looked like he wasn't seeing things properly. A lot of different things going on. What did you make of his day against Chattanooga? Only 8 passes. Clearly not the pressure he's going to see against SEC opponents, but just in terms of looking comfortable and knowing where to go with the ball and delivering it on time, what did you see from the quarterback?
Well, in this particular game, he did what, for him to be a successful passer, you need to. He threw the ball on time. He threw crisp passes. He got the ball out of his hands again. Not a whole lot of pressure there, but I think that was what was worked on clearly by this staff, by Coach Winkie and also Coach Chaney. Get it out of his hands. You know, it looks to me like, Chad, he throws better off play action pass, which is probably what Tennessee's going to be doing more of. Pretty clearly, they're going to be running those two running backs, probably going to be running 35 to 40 snaps a game. And with that, you have to have a play action pass come off that. Big reason I think it's easier to, from a timing perspective, because when you drop back, you have the whole field to kind of look at. When you do play action pass, you're really trying to affect one particular area, linebacker, maybe a cornerback or a safety, and you throw a little bit more on time. So I thought that part of it was good. But again, you got to take all that with a grain of salt. Those are building things you can bit pluses, but it was certainly not anything near what Tennessee is going to be facing in the next few weeks defensively.
Well, and Jeremy Pruitt was asked about his team after three games, and he said, what do you know about them? He said, I think we got pretty good receivers. He said, outside of that, I'm not really sure who's going to step up and what they're going to be as the year goes on. But if that's the theme even from the head coach with the receivers, what have you seen from them so far? What can maybe Tennessee do to make sure that they get those guys the ball with a chance to break a game open?
Well, this is the one of the games that Jim Chaney was hired for, quite frankly, to come in. It was why he was brought in for the Florida game, the Georgia game, you know, every game, but particularly those games. And I think you'll see now his expertise in play calling. Now, whether those plays will work or not, we'll see. But he clearly knows now what his receivers can do. You know, Coach McGinnis uses the phrase combat catches. I'd never heard that before, but it's a great phrase because – we have at Tennessee this group with Callaway and Jennings in particular. I think you could probably put Wood Anderson in there also. They're combat catchers. They're big physical guys that you got to go up and fight for the ball. They're not going to run by many people, most likely. So I think you'll see that. I think we'll really see in this game, hopefully, and I think we will. I think we'll see Jim Chaney's expertise in calling plays. He knows this defensive scheme. Florida's defensive scheme under Todd Grantham is the same as Kirby Smart's, as Nick Saban's, as Jeremy Pruitt's, as the South Carolina defensive coordinator. So he knows what to do against this. Obviously, he's coached against Florida many times when he was at Georgia. So I think all that bodes well. Now, the question is, can they execute? Can they do the things necessary at Florida Field? One big, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit later, Chad, but here's the concern offensively. First road game, a lot of crowd noise. You got two true freshmen, offensive linemen, and a redshirt sophomore that's started one ball game at Tennessee. That is a tough, loud place to play. How do you eliminate or at least reduce those movement penalties? Not going to be a whole lot of time to check off. That is different. Now, on the other side, it's a big plus for Tennessee's defense because you don't have any crowd noise now. You can communicate better. So, plus for the defense, but with this young team, they're going to have to be very careful how they use things, snap counts. So everything will go with hand signals and body movements by the center. But that will be difficult, and again, you know, you take Darnell Wright and Wanye Morris, crowd noise, you don't have any of it at home when your offense is on the field. The loudest crowd noise they had was when they were playing in high school. And believe me, this is going to be much different at Florida Field than in high school.
Well, you mentioned this is one of the games Jim Chaney was hired to coach in and to have a great plan and use his expertise as a play caller. I don't know if you read the piece from The Athletic with the Chattanooga coaches. What jumped out was the tendency when Austin Pope is in the game, two tight end personnel, the coaches said, I think 84% of the time when he's in the game to settle where he's at because that's where they're going to run. You can look at that as, well, Tennessee's just been very vanilla at times this year and they're waiting to unleash something else offensively, or they're very predictable. You could also say there's probably a lot of teams that have tendencies like that that are also very predictable. What do you think when you hear that?
I think it's a bunch of bunk. Number one, I am very surprised. I've never known a staff to let a reporter in there where you're making a game plan. And fact of the matter is that whatever those coaches or really any opposing coach thinks they know, on the other side of it, Tennessee, well, every team has tendency guys that chart all that for you. Jim Chaney knows exactly what has been called because of his looking over the reports on what he calls on third and four, third and three, third and two, this formation, that formation. Really doesn't mean anything at all. And I don't think, you know, I think that was more bluster, quite frankly, from coaches on an opposing staff.
I got the same sense.
If they knew what was coming, they didn't do a very good job of stopping any of it.
Well, it sounded like a staff that's trying to promote themselves. And then they could always fall back on that. But, you know, Tennessee's bigger and more talented and faster.
Well, I understand that part of it. But, I've heard some Tennessee, few Tennessee fans talking about that. That'll have no effect at all. Listen, they've been preparing. I think one of the reasons, quite honestly, they weren't as very well prepared for the first ball game, they've been preparing for Florida-Georgia ever since they were hired last spring. I'm talking about Jim Chaney coming in. So they've been working on these ball games. They'll have a game plan. This game plan probably was 80% done before this week ever started. Now, can he execute it? That'll be the question. But we're going to see some things in this game that we haven't seen. And there's I don't know what they're going to be, but, you know, let's just throw some things out there. Can Juwan Jennings throw the ball? Absolutely he can. He's done it. I would suspect that plays in there somewhere. We're going to see. We haven't seen hardly any misdirection out of this offense this year. That definitely will be in this game plan. You know, and defensively, we're probably going to see a few different things also.
What are some things as a play caller and game planner you can do in a game against a defense like Florida, who's going to be very aggressive, which you can use that against them also, but that can give your offense an advantage?
I've watched a lot of Tennessee Florida games. I've watched a bunch of them, about eight of them down in Gainesville. And again, every year is different. You know, this staff, this team, when people talk about what's happened before, well, that, you know, that doesn't really mean anything to this team. It does for fans that follow this team, but pretty new staff. Got one game under about last year, some of them. But here's the thing that normally costs Tennessee in these games: turnovers. Almost they shoot themselves in the foot. You go down, and particularly down in Florida, I remember, you know, the great Peyton Manning. He had trouble down there, you know, and he was the best we got. So I think it all starts with you got to understand, and this is the head coach's job, that the big plus on this football team right now is your kicking game. They're averaging 49 plus yards, almost half a football field in net punting. You got to be able to utilize that. You can't be afraid to, hey, okay, let's punt the ball. We can't win, or be very difficult to win this game with turnover. So that'd be number one. And then the second thing, and this is where Chaney comes in. He knows all these players. He coached against them last year, both Florida and Georgia. He will know those players. He knows the style. Now, is Tennessee good enough? Have they made the right changes up front? Clearly, they've gone with the five guys now. This last week, we saw the five that they're going to be going with offensive line if they stay healthy.
They got 660 pounds of man on the right side now, too. They went a lot bigger on that right side. A
lot bigger, but inexperienced. And so, you know, how's that all going to play out? That's his job right now, putting that all together. He knows what his quarterback can do and can't do. He knows what his running backs can do. He knows what his wide receivers can do. So it's now pretty easy to put a game plan in. That's the easy part. The tough part is executing it, and then having that feel for when the right time to call that right play is. Whatever that particular, they'll have a special player or two in for this team, calling it at the right time.
Two freshmen on defense I want to ask you about: Henry To'oTo'o. And the way he's looked in those first three games, is he already one of Tennessee's best defensive players, maybe even the second best in the team? And also Quavarius Crouch and how they've utilized him so far. He seems to be figuring some things out.
Well, they got three young guys at linebacker, whether it be outside or inside linebacker. Banks, Crouch, and To'oTo'o, and absolutely. And I tell you what was a big, what I noticed last week, again, from the defensive perspective. That's why Daniel Betulli being back is so key, because he's going to be – he and To'oTo'o are going to be the two inside linebackers. And to be able to have a senior there who knows what to do, and that takes a lot of pressure off To'oTo'o. We saw the very first play. He's a playmaker. Banks is a – two interceptions. Banks is a playmaker. Crouch is a playmaker. Theo Jackson is a playmaker. They're now getting their guys on the field that can make plays.
Even if they don't always know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and the key is, of course, to kind of learn that communication. I want to mention one thing. I can tell you this from a defensive coordinator standpoint. I loved coaching games on the road because there wasn't any crowd noise. All the crowd noise is when your offense, so on the road, you can communicate. You can actually talk from the sideline to players, holler something out there. You can't get that at home. A lot of crowd noise. So that will be, if they're a slight advantage, because with some of these young players, you can call it. Remember last year when, again, in the Auburn game down at Auburn, when Coach Pruitt called out a blitz when he recognized something, he was able to verbally let them know. Well, you can't do that at home with the crowd noise, but you can on the road. So that's a small minus. You'd much rather be playing at home, but if you're a defensive coach, it's a pretty good plus for you.
Do you think Banks has finally settled in with a home at inside linebacker?
Yeah, I was, you know, I think certainly on Big Orange Sunday, I was surprised when they moved him away from linebacker. Simply because he's a sudden football player. Tennessee does not have enough sudden football players, quick football players on defense. I know why they moved him back over. They felt like they needed to, but he's now having to kind of relearn some of the things that he learned at linebacker. I think he's going to be a big-time football player if he stays healthy. I really do. You know, there's some guys, Chad, that the ball just kind of comes to, kind of like in basketball. You know, they don't have to really go get a rebound that comes to him. Banks may be one of those guys. We had a guy named Thomas D. Woods, who was from Gallatin.
Oh, yeah, and, T.D. Woods.
He'd be running a route. Some guy, they'd throw it to somebody else. He'd fumble it, and the ball would bounce up in his hands, you know. Well, Banks, he made the first interception he made was a really good play. The other one was just kind of thrown to him. So I like all three of those young guys. I think we're going to see them more and more and more. They're sudden players that can hit you and can run. They're going to make some mistakes, but they're also going to make plays.
Beyond those three across the board, can you kind of rate the suddenness of the people that have come in for Pruitt and the people he inherited as a group?
Burrell, the freshman, as a cornerback, who was forced into action because of Thompson being out, is getting better and better and better. They got the McCully youngster. We saw a little bit of him. He's playing, he'll be playing a safety nickel position. I think Schamberger has some of that suddenness. I don't know that there's a guy up front that has that. I don't believe so. Probably Solomon would have the best opportunity there on that. But those are four or five guys. And maybe some of those young freshmen, Paul, that we haven't seen yet. But
what do you think about Roman Harrison? He's a guy who's also getting about as many snaps as Quavarius Crouch.
Well, he did the last game. He did. Of course, again, that was, as you mentioned, one of the good things I thought they did last week that I wanted to mention was Coach Pruitt did. You know, they played a lot of people in the second half, including several walk-ons. You know, this Chip Omer kid from here and down at CPA, he carried the ball twice in that ball game, and I can't tell you.
Yeah, their longest run.
I can't tell you how, you know, walk-on football players, you love those guys as a coach. Everybody loves your best players. I'm talking about coaches. But, you know, those guys get out there, they bust their fanny out like everybody else. They're not getting a penny. They get it to eat on the training table some. That's it. And to see those guys, I was really appreciative of Coach Pruitt doing that. Listen, he had every right, if he wanted to leave those players in that he knew were going to be playing to get them some experience. But he played about the last quarter and maybe a little bit more than that, a player. You know, there were two walk-on running backs that carried the ball, and I thought that was really good. That really helps you. Can you imagine those young men now being able to say that, hey, you know, I played in a game at Neyland Stadium? I really appreciated that from him because he certainly didn't have to. And you know what? I think a lot of that goes back to his background as a high school football coach. You realize that these guys work their fanny off and never get in the game, and I thought that's pretty darn neat.
It's also certainly not going to hurt him with recruiting some of these high schools also when you're playing guys who come there as preferred walk-ons. Phone lines open, 615-737-1045.
I did want to mention about Roman Harrison. You did ask about that. I don't know where he's going to end up playing because, you know, he's right now doesn't appear to be big enough to play a defensive end. He probably is going to be a Daryl Taylor type player, but he has suddenness. He's strong. But he's I don't know what they list him as. He looks to me like he's about probably at top end, maybe 240, maybe 230. But he does have some of that suddenness you're looking at. I doubt we're going to see him play a whole lot though in this ball game.
Coach, one thing I've seen with Florida so far this year, they are an extremely undisciplined football team when you look at every measurement. Turnovers, penalties, dumb penalties at times. You don't want to go into a game relying on that to happen, but that is one area where Tennessee could take advantage of this Saturday.
It is. The thing that they also do, though, and I think Kentucky was a good example of that, on the road, Kentucky had every could easily have won that game. I mean, you know, you're kicking at a makeable field goal with, less than a minute left.
To win it.
But the one thing about Florida, they scored 19 points in the fourth quarter, 19 of their 29 in the fourth quarter. Now, that last one, but it counts. And
yep.
They did it with a backup quarterback in there. So Tennessee will have to play well the whole ball game to have a chance, I think, to win this. And I think they'll have a chance. It'll probably get into the fourth quarter, barring what we were talking about earlier, just a buku of turnovers. Neither one of these teams, I don't think, are – Florida is, in my opinion at least, is not a top 10 football team. They are ranked there. But one thing that's kind of jumped out at me, Chad, this first three games is – Georgia is head and shoulders anybody else in the East.
It's not even close.
Florida's probably number two. Hey, I was very impressed with Kentucky.
Yeah,
Kentucky's got a good football team, and again, they had every opportunity to win that game.
What'd you think of Kyle Trask, the backup who came in? I thought Felipe Franks. It was kind of an odd game for him. You hate to see the injury, but he was panicking quickly, where he was almost doing a complete 360 turn in the pocket and looking for running lanes really quickly in the progression. Trask isn't that type of player.
You know, Franks, that's the way he started last year, and then he ended up with five or six really good games in a row, culminating in the Michigan bowl win. But he kind of started that way again this year. Trask looked like, just in that ball game, could throw the ball very well. Interesting to me, Coach Mullen, though, has said he's going to play both quarterbacks. So there's a couple of ways to look at that. If I was a defensive coach, I would say that maybe he didn't have a lot of confidence in Trask being able to execute what he thinks is going to need to be done. Probably going to see both of them. The second guy is
Emory Jones.
The Jones kid is much more of a runner. So you got to have two game plans ready for him. But they prepare for running quarterbacks and pocket quarterbacks all the time anyway. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
When Tennessee was able to surprise in a good way a year ago at Auburn, at home against Kentucky, two top 20, top 15 teams at the time. I remember I was up in Knoxville on a visit with my nephews, now a freshman at Tennessee, and had a chance to sort of tour the football facilities. I remember talking to Jeremy Pruitt's secretary the week of the Auburn game, and they were coming off a bye week.
Football.
And then going into that game. And
does she talk like Jeremy?
No, she does not. A very nice lady. But she was talking. She said, I feel really good about this Saturday. I feel good talking to the coaches, and I feel really good about the game plan going into this game at Auburn. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, Tennessee's not going to go into Auburn and win. Sure enough, they went into Auburn and win. Do you feel like with the familiarity between coaching staffs, and there's going to be a lot of that across the SEC with this Jeremy Pruitt staff because they've been everywhere and coached against everyone. In your experience, does that breed a feeling of confidence going into a game when you know the other coaching staff so well that you feel like you know what you should do as a team and you feel better about your game plan and your team? Or does it kind of also breed this level of, well, we know what they're going to do that we can't stop also, and there's a little bit more pessimism going into it that way?
Well, let's just take from Tennessee's perspective, from an offense perspective, South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, and Florida, those five teams all run the exact same defense that Tennessee runs. Jim Chaney knows how to attack that. Now, again, knowing how to do something and doing it is two other things. So there's a lot of familiarity there. You know the players, a lot of them, because you recruited against them. So, you know, I think most coaches, very few coaches go into any game that they are not pretty confident that they can win if they play, you know, well. Sometimes it's kind of false hope, but and again, I may be way wrong on this. I don't, as I look at both these teams, I don't see a whole lot of difference in them talent wise. Florida's probably got a few positions a little bit better. I think Tennessee does a few a little bit better. Neither one of them are what I would call really, really strong football teams right now. And I know Florida's ranked where they're ranked, but Florida's going to have some problems when they get into good, really good football teams.
Let's take a couple phone calls. Let's go to Chase, who's been waiting patiently. Chase, welcome in. You're on with Coach Doug Matthews.
Yeah, Doug, I'm kind of I can't help but look at this and know that, the coaching staff knows the biggest way they can reel back the fans, reel them back in from what's happened so far is with a win against Florida. And I get the feeling that, that you know, all the stops are going to come out. I feel like there's going to be some fake punts, there's going to be some reverses, some halfback passes, some, you know, all kinds of things, maybe even some wildcat or something. What are your thoughts on that being something that they go to this week against Florida?
Well, I believe that they have all of those things. I know they have a couple of different wildcat formations. I know there's some things, and when I say I know, I haven't watched them do this on, but I know that they have some other things in their offensive game plan.
We've seen one snap of that wildcat this season against BYU. Juwan Jennings ran for 3 or 4 yards
on the wildcat. And I'm sure they put that in there so that Florida would have to work on it. You know, Sometimes you do those things too. But clearly that – now whether they'll run it or not, I don't know.
I'd be surprised if he runs it the second time since he ran it the first time if Florida saw that.
But it's and you know what? I know what you're saying about reeling the fans back in, but and I want to say this kind of the right way, but you know, when you're, I'll just speak from experience, when you're coaching, you're really not worried about or thinking about anything outside of that staff room and your group and what you're trying to get done. And, you know, what fans are going to say or do, that's what they're going to say or do. I will say this. I think the great, great, great majority of Tennessee fans, and I'm one of them, I'll complain, but you know, when kickoff gets here a little bit before, I'm right there with him, you know. And that was one of the things I thought was pretty darn neat about the BYU game. There was huge fan support. That was a loud football game.
Now,
there
you could tell on television.
There were a lot of BYU folks there, and I think a lot of it's because there's a good group of BYU fans here in Middle Tennessee that probably went over for the ball game. But, you would think they would be ready. I think they will be. It's just a matter of are they good enough to beat Florida? And I think they are. If you stay away from the things that get you beat. And one of the first things you have to do, this kind of sometimes sounds conservative, I don't mean it to be, but you got to keep from beating yourself first. And that's what's happened to Tennessee. That's what happened to Tennessee last year.
Oh, yeah.
That game was over before the game, before quarter got there. So that's what they have to stay away from.
Well, to the call about the fans, I'm far less concerned, and I am a fan too. I'm a Tennessee grad. I'm far less concerned about the fans' reaction or attendance figures or the way the stadium looks, as much as I am keeping the players reeled in. Now, he said that, can you reel the fans back in with a win at Florida? How important is that these guys on this roster see some success this year? They go out there and they have a great game plan and they make some big plays and they get a big win, or they string a couple wins together in SEC play, whatever success may be for this team, to make sure that you hold it together with your locker room. Because, Coach, you've coached a lot of these types of teams. You understand that it's far more important that your players in your locker room are reeled in than the fans up in the upper deck.
Well, half of this team was brought in by Jeremy Pruitt, and I'm not one of those. I know that there's a lot of – I hear some people talking about he's a, you know, a Butch Jones guy. I don't know what a Butch Jones guy is. These guys came to Tennessee, like I mentioned last Wednesday, to play at Tennessee. And some of those guys that Butch Jones recruited are playing very well right now. So, I don't – you know, that's this early in the season where you have a problem with that normally, and I unfortunately was on a couple of teams like this, is when you get to the point in the season where their bowl game is not a possibility. Or a championship's not a possibility. That's normally when you could have some problems. But again, that's one of the reasons you try to develop leadership in your program. And I think there's enough young guys on this team and some older guys too that are going to be good leaders in that area. Juwan Jennings is a perfect example. He's a fifth-year senior that got a second opportunity to come back, and he's made the most of it. And he, to me, is clearly the leader of this football team right now.
Yeah, he's tied for second in the SEC in touchdown receptions right now also. Coach, you're going into a big rivalry game in conference, and you know who your guys are on offense that need to touch the ball. How do you go about making sure you have a game plan to get those guys the ball? I'll give you my top example. Juwan Jennings made a pretty big play in 2016, the last time Tennessee beat Florida. This feels like a Juwan Jennings game where he has to be involved, right?
Well, you would think, and I'm sure that this is the way Coach Cheney's looking at it. You got to get Jennings the ball. You got to get Callaway the ball. You got to get Wood Anderson the ball. Those three for sure. You want to get plenty of touches to Callaway and to Gray. Those are the five guys who potentially, particularly Callaway and Gray, they're the two guys on this team that have an opportunity to really take the ball a long way. You know, turn 5-10-yard runs into 30 or 40-yard runs. So how they will do that, I think we're going to see a good bit of 50, what were called 50-50 balls, where Jennings and Callaway both, I think we'll see those now out on the boundary, outside the boundary, kind of jump ball type things, you know, strategically thrown, whether it may be a back shoulder throw.
And the way Todd Grantham plays defense, are they going to have some opportunities man-to-man?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's some vulnerability there from Florida's defensive backs. They're not big physical players. So
starting safeties out the first half after a targeting penalty in the second half against Kentucky.
And they'll get good matchups there. So that and, you know, I mean, it's clear running the ball, play action pass, and then taking your shots and then mixing in whatever plays they see that they've seen on tape they think will work.
Do you think Ty Chandler a year ago against Auburn, that was the first game they really utilized him in different ways. They moved him out to the slot. He had a touchdown catch from the slot. They got him involved in the passing game also. Do you think that's an area of his game that they need to look more into moving forward, or is he simply a guy that you obviously get involved in the running game also? Does he strictly stay out of the backfield for them?
No, I think he and Gray, they're the one or two backs right now. Now, I know Jordan's getting some few looks there, but Gray and Chandler, I think they're both very similar, and I think you will see him with a nobody in the backfield. I think you'll see him motioned out, and I think you'll see them both with plenty of touches in this game. You know, you have to kind of do it on how the game's going, but
right.
If this game's a close ball game, you're going to see both those guys carrying the ball because, again, they both have opportunities to make big, big plays.
Let's go to Larry next. Larry, welcome in. You're on the Midday 180.
Thank you, sir. By the way, Chad, I really like your show. I listen to y'all down here from Huntsville all the time. I love it. I enjoy it all the time.
Thank you. My show.
Coach Matthews, I'm gonna pick your brain a little bit. I want to listen to your response on this. I had a Tennessee fan like me who's been a fan since I was a little boy. My stepbrother played football with Condridge Holloway years ago down here in Huntsville. When Rick Barnes took the basketball program over, the basketball program went through 2 years of stuff, and then they turned around and got better. Do you think this team, not anybody's fault, do you think the team, because of the coaching transition and a loss of players, and we started with three players on defense, we started basically with nobody. Henry Toto is going to be the best linebacker in our team since Andy Spiva coming up here in a couple of years. In your personal team as a coach, and I'm talking about a fan and a coach, I was at the Brigham Young game that played real hard. I really love that atmosphere. As a whole, has this team from position to position until now been undercoached? They look like in the last three games they've gotten better. Every game, Nigel Warren looks like a different player. I know it was Chattanooga and I understand this, but he was really concentrating on what he was trying to do. I want to stay online and hear this because I really think sometimes we get lost in the fans that got to understand this team is really young. Is that a true assessment of where this team is at right now?
Well, I do think this team is getting better. I probably was as vocal as anybody. The first ball game was a horribly prepared team and, in my opinion, a horribly coached ball game. Now, that game's gone. The last two ball games, this is a very, very capable staff. I've watched them practice too many times. I've been in meetings with them. I've all these guys, well, not all, five or six of them have done an excellent job coaching teams in this league. So I don't think that's a problem at all. This team's going to continue to get better. As I look at it right now, you got a defensive front who I think will end up being very good against the run because they've been playing too high. But you got to remember Middleton and all these guys,
Williams.
They all. This is their really first year playing much at all. So you have to get used to playing pad leverage and things like that. secondary is going to continue to get better. I think the offensive line will continue to get better. Now, are they going to be good enough? You know, everybody else in this league is getting better, too, as the season goes along. But, you know, I am still a you know, bullish on this staff and where this team can go. But this team playing at its best is a little bit above middle-of-the-road Southeastern Conference team. Now, the good thing is this. If you look at this division right now, Eastern Division, at least the way I see it right now, you got Georgia. Then you got six other teams that are pretty much the same. You know, and any of those teams, Kentucky, any of those teams can win, you know, and none of them I don't think are really going to seriously contest Georgia. I don't believe they
You're not picking any one of those teams to really run away in a game with any of the other ones. No, they're all kind of toss-up games.
And if they do one game, they probably won't the next. But they're all about there together. So somebody's going to get hot. Somebody's going to get on a run. The well-coached teams are going to get better, and the average coach teams are going to stay the same, which means they're getting worse.
Well, and the first game was so bad, and you talked a lot about this on this show and on Big Orange Sunday. It was so bad, it was difficult to put into perspective what this team was. And the fear from Tennessee fans was, are they really just this bad? They're clearly not that bad. You've seen two performances where they're much better than they were in the first game. That's encouraging, but it still doesn't erase the fact that they are capable of being that bad the way they were against Georgia State, which kind of clouds everything, I guess, moving forward.
The way the game is played now is you have to have a quarterback who can make plays for you. That would be the question I would have. Can Jarrett Garantano make plays consistently? You have to have those. Tennessee will continue getting better on defense. I think they'll continue getting better running the ball, but it's going to get down at some point to making plays. You know, you look at Alabama with all the things they got. They beat you with big plays in the passing game. It is so difficult now to score enough points without being able to throw the ball and make some big plays. And he knows it. He's got to get better at that.
What do you got coming up this weekend?
Well, an early show again because of 11 o'clock ball game. We're on from 8 to 9:30. Tony will be on. Charles will be on. And we'll be, there's a lot of conference games this week, but I guess the big game everybody's going to be watching from a national perspective is Notre Dame at Georgia. You know, you just think about this. Notre Dame's coming in to play Georgia. Auburn beating LSU.
Auburn beating Oregon, LSU beating Texas.
We've had two SEC teams pretty much knock both those teams out. Notre Dame, if they get beat by Georgia, it's going to be difficult for them to get in the playoffs this year. They can still do it, don't get me wrong. But if you get a loss this early, you're going to be really digging out of a pretty deep hole. And I'm talking about from a national championship
playoff
perspective,
standpoint.
Not a conference perspective.
Am I crazy? A lot of people are up in arms that, boy, Tennessee and Florida at 11 a.m., that shows how far this game has fallen. I think that's a positive for Tennessee. If you're going to play Florida anytime in the Swamp, wouldn't you want them at 11 a.m.?
Well, yeah, but you know what? That had so long been a staple 2:30 CBS
game.
Well,
I'm not saying it's going to mean Tennessee wins. I'm saying you'd rather have them at that time than where people are getting primed up throughout the day.
I'm saying you'd rather it be a big game that's in prime time and you've fallen so far that they're putting it on at a time where some people aren't awake yet.
I'd rather win the game. I'd rather win the game than get just killed.
Well, we're not
on national television.
We're not quite where the Pac-12 was. You know, they were looking at 9 o'clock game.
Yeah, 9 a.m. game.
They did away from that though. But you know, we'll see. Again, there's pretty good games out there this weekend. Looking at them,
we'll be listening this weekend, Coach.
Looking forward to it. See you all next week,
Coach Doug Matthews. Thanks. On the road with him, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Remember, booze it and lose it. Lose your license, your freedom, your life. Sponsored by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive.